back to KSL Cafecito, the podcast where we talk all things culture. I'm Yvette Cruz.
And I'm Joel Cárdenas.
Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about, we're going to have a little episode of nostalgia, if you will. We're going to be talking about what we would like to see make a comeback. And we're also going to give an ode to Latino TV, music, and movies. But first, be sure to follow us on social media. I'm at Evie Cruz on Twitter.
And I'm at Joel Cárdenas.
And we're at KSL Cafecito. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and soon Google Play. So let's get started with our first topic. Last week, MTV's TRL reboot premiered after about 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, TRL, or Total Request Live, was essentially a music show that included music video countdown, I guess, interviews with artists and celebrity guest hosts and so on. So it changed a lot over the years, depending on when you watched it. The last show aired near the end of 2008, but I remember it for the music videos. I remember that music video countdown and looking forward to seeing certain videos premiere. And a lot of people watched this reboot and received a lot of mixed reviews because there were no music videos involved in the revival, which was basically
really?
The whole request part of TRL.
Yes, that's the whole point. But continue on.
Yeah, so a lot of people weren't happy with, well, a lot of people who watched the original, I should say, weren't happy with the reboot. And they expected this comeback, and this includes myself, to include what the original had, which was the music videos. Now, I often think of things that I quote unquote want to make a comeback, things that I want to see again, and music video shows is near the top of my list. So things like the old TRL or 106 and Park on BET, shows that had the back-to-back shows that had back-to-back music videos and maybe a little interview here and there, maybe some fun stuff, but just music videos. I miss watching Nelly and Kelly Rowland's Dilemma. It's not the same when you look it up on YouTube. It's just not the same. So I know I'm not alone here. Joel, I want to ask you, when it comes to comebacks, and anything goes, so we're talking TV shows, trends, old traditions, whatever you will, what would you like to see make a comeback?
Well, I agree with you. The first thing that I would want to see is MTV with music videos. I can't remember the last time that I sat down for longer than maybe 15 minutes to watch an MTV show, like any show.
And
like,
remember, the M in MTV stands for music, so...
That's right, and then...
stood for it.
Yeah, and then they chopped the bottom part that it said music television a few years ago.
Yeah.
They chopped that out of the logo because they realized, who
it's
are we
not,
kidding?
Yeah.
You know, we're just now just a name or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see that because I think the only time that they actually do show some videos, and I could be wrong because I'm a night owl. I usually just... You know, I'll usually go to bed like at 2 a.m. or whatnot. So it's 4 a.m. in the East. And sometimes right before I've gotten to bed, I've flicked around the channels and MTV is actually showing some music videos.
Like recent ones, old ones?
No, like recent ones.
Oh,
the
okay.
thing is, it's like 1:30 a.m. our local time here, meaning 3:30 a.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. And they base everything mostly off Eastern time.
Okay.
So that's around the time that they're airing these music videos, which is sad to think because
who's really watching at that time?
Only people like ourselves. And the thing is, that's only really benefiting the people in the mountain time zone, because if you go to the Pacific time zone, they're on the Eastern thing as well, and that things are aligned like that. So nobody's really watching it except people maybe in our region. But I would love to see just the idea of, okay, let's have a show. Maybe not bring back Yo MTV Raps. I want to keep that nostalgia part there. I don't want to see it come back because, like this reviews from TRL, it's not going
to
be the same.
Yeah,
it's never,
you don't want them to mess that
no
up.
No reboot.
Mess up that memory.
Yeah, no reboot. Can I just say, no reboot is ever the same. I know they rebooted recently. I think NBC rebooted Will and Grace, and I haven't watched the show.
I haven't either.
But maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But it's never really the same. I know Full House had a reboot a year and a half ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's nostalgic, but it's not the same.
Right. And I know there's other shows that they're thinking about making a comeback. Part of me also questions, is this just the fact that we're just not getting as creative as we used to? I mean, you think about even those Spider-Man movies. I think they've made like 3 different versions of Spider-Man movies now. I could be wrong, but I know there's at least 2. Because I remember there's a Tobey Maguire one, and then there was some other one with the guy that Emma Stone used to date. That guy.
Is it Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, that guy. I forget.
Yeah, I haven't even watched the movie, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But,
maybe not so much reboots, but you know what? I wouldn't mind because, the reboot means they have the room to mess up, so we don't want that. Mm-hmm. But maybe like reruns. Like, you know how Nick, I don't know if Nickelodeon still does this, like Nick at Night, where they do air like the Cosby Show and they air Full House.
Oh, nobody airs the Cosby Show anymore for other reasons, but go ahead. Oh,
okay, yeah. but you know, they air like old shows and, where they did, I don't know if they still do, but maybe it'd be cool if there was like a channel or just a time where they were just rerunning like stuff that we used to watch in its original form.
Right.
And just rerunning it and just like giving us a chance to relive it.
Yeah, and I think originally TV Land was supposed to be, that channel was supposed to be kind of that, but they've done original shows as well. So I think, and I don't know about you, Yvette, but for me, I think there are some things that need to just stay in the vault. Don't touch it.
Okay.
You know, well, I think there's some movies, like for even for movies, for example, there's some movies there should be no reason to make, to do a remake of it.
Yeah.
Like there's been rumors always about one of my favorite movies of all time, The Godfather.
They're going to remake that?
No, they're not going to remake it, but there's been always rumors that Paramount is thinking about
making... mess it up. Don't.
And there's other movies. I know there's talk about Scarface as well.
What?
Yeah, the 83 with Al Pacino and all that. They're thinking about doing a reboot of that, like making it into modern Miami and all this stuff.
Oh, no, please no. I know they just recently remade It.
Yes, they did. And there's some people that didn't like that. I mean, not necessarily the movie, but just the idea of they remade the Stephen
King
classic.
They remade, what's that movie with, I can't remember. I love this movie. How do I not remember the name? Dirty Dancing. They remade Dirty Dancing. That was this is the opinion of Yvette Cruz. That was a bad remake.
Yeah.
Like the original wins all the way.
Yeah.
No need. Okay, so we're obviously talking about things that we don't want them to screw up in a comeback. But what's something that you would want to just like see again or feel again or do again? Something that is just like a nostalgic activity. I don't know. Something, whatever you want. What's something that you would want back in its original form?
What I would want back for me off the top of my head, I'll first start off with something just kind of fun, and then I'll go into maybe something a little bit more kind of what I feel closer to home. For fun, what I would love to see come back, I would love to see come back like TGIF, for example. Now, for those that might remember what TGIF was, on Friday nights on ABC in the 90s until I think it ended in 2003 or something like that, TGIF was a lineup of four different shows comedies, and it was just a family time. And to me, in my mind, I still even had the theme song stuck in my head. Ah, there it is. See, for me...
I don't remember. Sorry.
No, it's all right. Like, anybody who was a 90s kid going into, you know, especially the mid-90s, like, I was 9, 10, 11 years old. And for me, yeah, these were like huge memories. This is the theme to Perfect Strangers, by the way. One of the longest running shows on TGIF. I'm giving you just a bunch of information here that's pretty much useless. But for me, I would love to see something like this. Like, it doesn't have to be Friday nights, but something where the family can come together. And I know some of the networks have tried to do that in these past years.
I've
tried to make
it.
It's not the same, I think, just because of ratings-wise, there's more competition now. Shows that might be considered really cheesy, but good cheesy, they're not really given a shot.
90s cheesy.
Yeah, 90s. Yeah, they're not given a shot anymore. So for me, it's just like, I would love to see something like that come back. But that's just me.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, that's so nice.
Yeah, like other things I would like to see come back. I'd like to see Don Francisco back on Univision. That's just me. He just looks weird being on Telemundo. It just feels like... No,
he's just in a different, like, I guess, format than you knew him. He's just in a different atmosphere than, you know, how you perceived Don Francisco.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
And one thing before I throw it back to you, one thing that I would like to see, one of many things I would like to see come back, is the idea of Sunday dinners and or even just dinners in general. But for me, Sunday dinners without looking at your phone. What
Ooh.
I mean by that.
Like preach, Sean.
Yes,
preach.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You embrace it now, congregation. But I'm sure this is what many of us desire. Like, I know some will say it's easy to do, just put the phone away or just leave it in another room. Like, is it really easy to do nowadays? I don't think it is. For many of us, it's not, because we love being informed, especially us as journalists. I know we love being informed, and it's tough for us to kind of put that down. And just, even if we're not working, we just want to still be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to people that are not journalists as well. Sometimes you want to be informed. What are your friends doing? What's people doing on the gram? What's people doing on Facebook? Things. And we've sort of become that. It's become part of our everyday lives to continue being informed at our fingertips. And there's a part of me that wishes that the idea of having these kind of get-togethers with familia, with friends, without so many distractions were still possible like it used to be. Like, even without the phone, it seems like we reached a point where we're so informed due to social media and 24-hour news, things like that, that we become saturated with info. Sometimes our conversations in these nowadays, like in these dinners, have become just about not just news, but just about, I don't want to say even necessarily just chisme, just other things. We've forgotten what the core of some of these conversations are, like what Sunday dinners para nosotros are meant to be. And for me, is it wrong that part of me wants to go back to this, to a bit simpler, or you might even say a bit more naive back in the day? Call me guilty then, but I kind of do. But yeah, what about you, Yvette?
No, okay, well, first of all, on that, I completely agree, I think. And I'm guilty of it, too. Now, my mom, when I was younger, I guess, when I was about 16, 17, no, actually, yeah, about that age, when I had first gotten a cell phone and I would text my friends all the time, I did have my phone with me all the time, and I was always texting, and it needed to be urgent, and my mom hated it. And now, at, you know, my 26 years of age, I have gotten more used to just trying to disconnect, or at least like my phone is with me at the table because of what we do, but I try not to answer if I don't need to, if it's not urgent. I just want to enjoy that time too. So I know what you mean. I'm guilty of it too. I've been out with friends and I've done it. They've done it. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy when I do it. I think it's something that we can work. I definitely think it's possible. I think that is a choice with the people that you're with and what you're doing and where you go, but that would be really nice. I'd love that to come back.
Yeah.
Another thing that I would love to come back, if anybody remembers, Blockbusters.
Blockbusters, yes. Really?
So don't get me wrong. I love movie stores, the video stores, whatever. Don't get me wrong. I love Netflix. I do. I love the convenience of it. I love all the choices. I love that. I'm a subscriber, sure.
Get ready to pay an extra dollar.
But what I miss is I'm talking about when, and this is my family thing, so I don't know. We would go, and this wasn't all the time either, but on like when I was a kid with my sister, we would go to Blockbuster or whatever, Hollywood Video, or depending on where you were, and we would get to rent a movie. So me and my sister had to pick. We had to pick one movie, so we had to decide together because my mom would only, you know, she'd let us get one. And I remember there being that wall of, like, new releases. We weren't allowed to get those because those were more expensive. And we got to pick a movie, and we got to go home and watch it. And then sometimes we got to get snacks, not at Blockbuster because they were expensive, but we got to get other snacks. But it was just this really cool experience. You know, you didn't just... I mean, it's kind of like what you're doing with Netflix or whatever streaming device you're using. You're searching and stuff, but you're doing it from a computer and you're doing it from one place. And trust me, it's convenient. I probably wouldn't give that convenience up completely now, but I loved going to, like, it was a little adventure. It was like a field trip. You would get to go to the store and walk around the aisles and look at the different videos. And at one point, the new DVDs when that was coming out. Yeah. And you just got to, like, look and
video
look at
games
the,
were there.
Yeah. And you just got to walk around. And then me and my sister, we'd have to debate. We'd have to be like, oh, I want this one. And we'd be like, no, I want this one. And then we'd have to decide. Sometimes we got to get both, and that was fun. But I miss that experience. The movie renting, not so much that, you know, it was you had to pay and that you had to bring it back in a certain amount of days. But I miss that, like, that going to the store and being there and just, I don't know, maybe that sounds naive too. And I don't know that, I'm pretty sure that's not coming back. But I do miss that. Another thing that I miss, and this might be a strange one, I miss the Obamas. Like, hear me out. I miss Barack Obama's dad jokes.
I think you're not
jokes.
Alone there.
I miss his dad jokes. Like, at press conferences or Thanksgiving, I miss the dad jokes. They were funny, probably because he's not my dad, but they were funny. I miss that. And I miss the family photos that would come out and the photos of the dog. And I miss Barack and Michelle's love for each other. They recently celebrated their 25th anniversary, which we know thanks to social media. And so we still get a little glimpse of them. But I just miss that. I miss their, like, that family, like, seeing them where they were, and it was just, it was nice. They gave me a lot of hope for nice things. Anything else that is coming to mind for you?
Well, for me, like, I understand that part because especially the Obamas were the first in a while that we had an actual, like, a family, like a larger family in the
White
House.
Yeah, and the girls were kids. They were, when they started out, they were very young, and, you know, we got
more
to watch
them
grow up.
Because last one with Bill and Hillary in the 90s, it was just Chelsea, and she was younger, but having two children, having the dog, and having everything, like, I understand that aspect. Not, for me, I just think, are things more convenient nowadays? I mean, you can make the argument that that's, that's the case, that things are more convenient nowadays. But for me, the thing that I hope doesn't get lost is the idea of some of these nostalgic things, some of the things that we wish we could make comebacks and things. It's because of it's a memory, and just the feeling that these things bring back. For me, my concern is, all right, in the future, if I do have children, are they going to have these same kind of memories as I do? And for me, I think about that, and I think, well, I think maybe that's why I want to hang on to some of these things, because I would love to pass some of these things down. Mm-hmm. But also, I need to realize that sometimes things just change. Times change, and what their memory is going to be of their nostalgia is going to be much different than I do. And I'm sure that's the same thing I could say that about my family and so on.
Yeah. Something else that I miss, and this one's probably going to sound dumb to a lot of people, but I miss writing letters to people. I miss, like, sitting down and writing a letter. I know now it's so much more convenient because you can just text them. You can have a conversation instantly. You can call them. You can FaceTime them. All that stuff is great. Not against any of that. But I do miss writing a letter and, like, pouring out, you know, if it was someone that you hadn't talked to in a while, telling them, like, here's my 3-month update. This is what's been going on in my life. And just writing things down and mailing it out and then receiving a response. That was exciting. I actually had a pen pal for a bit when I was, I think, like a young teenager, I guess. It was actually somebody who lived on the street. So it was like, well, we were friends and we talked about, yeah, we literally lived like 2 or 3 blocks away from each other. But we talked about writing letters and how that was cool. Right. And, you know, we were very young and we didn't get to, you know, some people as adults, they wrote a lot of letters. And now, you know, right now, a lot of adults don't write a lot of letters because, right. So back then we just talked about it as a joke. And so we just started writing letters to each other. It didn't last that long either, but we just wrote letters to each other, even though we'd see each other at school. It was just fun. And I remember my mom and my grandma, they would write letters to each other. My grandma lives in Mexico, and my grandma's letters would be like 3 pages long, front and back. Mm-hmm. And they would talk on the phone too, but not every day. So the phone call would come every now and then, but the letters would come more often, and they would just catch up like that. And I miss that. I know it's, I mean, if I think about it and I sit down, I could totally write a letter to somebody and somebody could write back. But it's just, I think with all the other conveniences, it's just not as likely.
Right.
It's just not likely to happen. And that's just that. And that's okay. I don't know. What about things that you don't want to make a comeback? Things that should stay? Like, we are so glad that these things are never coming back. We don't need these things. I can think of an example.
Oh, I can think of some. Some are humorous. Some are just kind of like, a humorous one would be, for example, like those big home stereo systems.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need to come back.
Yeah, they don't.
Those took up a lot of space. Yep. Those were a pain to hook up and get all together.
To move anywhere.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, I could still remember, like, my uncle had a big one and it was a cassette player. Uh-huh. And we thought, oh, it's really cool. But, like, sometimes the cassette would start getting eaten. Like, it would just eat up the cassette and all this stuff. So things like that, like, don't need to make a comeback. That's just kind of one small example. What about you?
Payphones, because one, you had to pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you pay for your cell phone too, but you had to pay. And the last time I used a cell phone, I still remember it was about, I think I was 19. So it was a few years ago. And I was actually very, very happy that I had a payphone because my phone was dead. My cell phone was dead. My car wouldn't start. I was at a gas station and the gas station was closing. And so I needed to make a call. I had gotten out of work. It was about 11 something at night, and I, car dead, phone dead. Thank goodness for a payphone, right? Well, guess what? It didn't work. So I'm okay without those. That's a story for another day. That's a story for another day. But yeah, payphones, they, or slow, or dial up internet. Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
The little AOL guy running and how long it would take to connect? Oh, yeah. And now we get so impatient when
we used to
our
get
Wi-Fi
all those CDs
cool.
all the time, or those, whatever, CDs, whatever you call it, the CDRs, 1,000 free hours of internet.
That can stay. That can stay back there. Why do you think it is that we need, like, some of the things that we're talking about, that we are, you know, we do want to make a comeback, or that we want to feel the way that we did, that nostalgia? Why do you think it is that we sometimes miss it?
I think some of it is we miss it because we feel, I kind of go back to, I hate using the word naive, but I think just the more innocent time.
Yeah,
like a lot of these times, like I think about, for example, like the whole TGIF thing or whatnot. I wasn't paying attention really to what was going on. Then again, I was a kid, but
yeah.
We weren't paying attention to what was really going on in the world during that time. And even if sometimes, like, I'll admit, like, growing up, we had a pretty tough childhood. We had, mm-hmm. there were a lot of issues going on with my mom and my dad. We grew up very poor. But for those 2 hours, for example, we didn't care that there were, you know, that we were living in such poverty. Like, we weren't thinking about that. We weren't thinking that my mom was going through a really tough time and mm-hmm. depression and all these other things. We didn't care about that. We were just eating, you know, 2 fried eggs and some rice and some beans for dinner like 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. We didn't care about any about that. All we cared about is that there was something entertaining on TV and it made us laugh and it was fun. And I think those memories despite all of the bad things that were happening there.
Yeah, like nothing else mattered.
Yeah, nothing else mattered. It was just we were all together for just those 2 hours that we laughed. And I think that's some of those things, some of those memories as well. I mean, maybe for you, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea of going to a Blockbuster with La Familia, going together, and just the fun aspect of like running around the store and deciding on a movie and just things like that. And then going home and watching it more likely together as a family and sitting down and just for a few hours. I think those things resonate with us.
Yeah, honestly, I think of it like the nostalgia. I think of it as we just remember, at least for me, I remember things better than they were.
Right.
You know, maybe things were bad and things like bad stuff did happen. I'm not going to say, but you remember it for a better time. You remember the good things. And I hope that at one point we remember these times as better than they were. And hopefully that just gives us hope.
Yes. We're still celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month here at Cafecito, and today what we want to go with is an ode to Latino TV, music, and movies. So this is just a mixed bag, a fun bag, if you will, of just everything that has made not just our memories wonderful, but what makes Latino TV, music, or movies, and or movies so special. So my question to you, Yvette, are what are some of the shows, music, movies, and you can go anywhere with this. This is just having fun. What are some of the shows, music, or movies that you consider to be essential as a Latina or Latina culture? Just everything.
So off the top of my head, if we're talking about novelas,
okay,
the novela I can think of as a Latina would be Amigas y Rivales. Ooh. So if you didn't watch that, it was a show about friends. It was a novela. So it was a novela about four. I think at one point it turned into five, but four. Yep, there you go. There's the... yeah. So if you heard that theme growing up, then you know what I'm talking about. The Amigas y Rivales came out in about 2001, I think. And so I was about 10, 11 years old. Probably shouldn't have been watching this novela, but it taught me a lot. It was about friendship, and it was, I mean, amigas means friends, rivales means rivals. So it was about friends and rivals, because at some points that's what these friends were. They were really good friends, or they weren't. They started out as rivals and vice versa. And it was about them growing up. It was, you know, there were some that were, and it took place in Mexico. Some of them had grown up very wealthy, so you had the wealthy side, and then some of them were not as wealthy. Some of them were, one of them was actually very, very poor, and she wanted to be wealthy because she was around these other people. Or I'm sorry, I'm mixing up novelas.
They're all kind of the same.
Yeah. If you're Latina and you watch these novelas, or you know, if you're a guy and you know what I'm talking about, then you know the stories. But it just reminds me of, you know, at that time I was old enough. There had been other novelas that I had watched that I didn't really understand or that I don't remember as well because I was younger, but at this time I was, like I said, 10 or 11. So I do remember the story. And also there were reruns at one point. There were reruns very, very late. So I would watch them, and I would remember feeling, me and my sister would watch this novela, and we learned certain things watching this novela, and we just learned how, because we grew up here, so we learned how things were in Mexico, and things like this was very different. And this is probably a theme that played out in other novelas. But here, when you get a scholarship, it's great. You don't have to pay. That's awesome. Good for you. You were smart enough or you were in a position where you could earn a scholarship, which is not a bad thing. But then in Mexico, having a scholarship or being like or having a beca or whatever, not having to pay, is because you weren't able to pay. Therefore, you were below other people, and then you would be ridiculed.
Really?
Yeah, in some novelas, this was a theme. And so that to me was so confusing, because I, growing up, wanted to get a scholarship because we didn't. Yeah, of course, we didn't have as much money, but it was a great thing. It was like an award or a reward, but it wasn't the same at least in the novelas. I didn't grow up in Mexico. I didn't go to school there, so I don't know if this was something that actually, from what I've heard from other people, yes, it depending on who you're around, yes, it does happen. But yeah, I learned stuff like that. It just, I don't know, I grew up in a little bit, and later I understood things more I would remember the novela, and I'd be like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
But it's just nostalgic. It's like a stroll down memory lane thinking about this novela, and if anyone watched this novela, then you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're going to go look it up and watch it again. Maybe Netflix will bring it back. Maybe they already have and I haven't noticed. I don't know. But Primer Impacto was another one.
Right.
Novelas. News.
Well, Primer Impacto is kind of like a novela.
It's like the novela of news.
Yeah.
It's different now. I don't think it's the exact same. It's I don't know. It depends on what you're thinking. But I do. I remember, maybe because I was a kid, I remember it being very extreme. Now I don't see it, maybe because of the society that we live in now, but I don't see it as extreme now.
I agree. I think they toned it down a little, because I agree with you that there are times where I remember I was watching it because my mom would just play it. You know, she was playing on ABC and we would just be watching it. So, you know, I'm purposely put it on so we can watch. But there are sometimes like Primer Impacto would come on and there's like, oh, there's a dead body. Yeah. And I'm like 6 years old and I'm just like, wow, okay.
Or just like these extreme things, like, and I'm probably exaggerating, but like the dangers of the Mario Brothers and the secret messages that you don't know about this video game. You know, like, sometimes, I don't know. But it was just, that is an exaggeration. But yeah, it was just, it was a lot.
Ten cuidado, los niños que juegan este, all this
stuff.
Yeah,
my mom would be like, don't do that, because on the news they said, What about you? Are there like any like movies or something that...
Well, for me, like what I think about as far as movies, one of the essential ones, and I don't know, I'm sure for a lot of guys and girls as well, but for a lot of them grew up at least seeing this show or seeing this movie or have heard of it, Blood In, Blood Out is a movie that I remember. Like, I remember my brother and I would just watch it over and over, and we were pretty young, and this was about gangs. Too young to be watching and watching about gangs and prison and fighting and all this other stuff. But if you say the names Miklo, if you say the names Crucito, if you say Paco Aguilar to a Latino, they're going to probably know, more than likely, if they grew up a 90s kid, they're going to know who those people are, those characters are. And or if you say, like, Vatos Locos for Life, like, they're going to know where that movie's from.
Yeah.
And it's not just that movie. There's another movie, American Me.
You know,
it's another movie like that. But then there's movies that are, you know, not necessarily gang-related that I think we remember. I think, off the top of my head, Selena.
Oh, yep. Oh,
like,
I love Selena.
Like, who doesn't love doesn't love Selena? And it's reached a point, I think, for a lot of us, I'd say for myself, that when I think about Selena Quintanilla, we think about the artist as well. But I got to admit, I also think about Jennifer Lopez as Selena.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, true.
And that was obviously her breakout role and things like that. But I think it's one of those movies like Selena and Edward James Olmos is in it.
Yeah, he was like in all these movies.
Yes, he was in it.
I feel like all the movies I can think of, he was in all of them.
I'm surprised he wasn't in Blood and Blood Out. But
And that infamous line, and I don't know if Selena's dad really said this, but this line stuck with me, and I'm sure it stuck with a lot of at least Mexican-Americans that saw the movie. And that line when they're driving and he says, we got to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and we got to be more American than the Americans. Yeah. That defines being Mexican-American or being, you know, of Hispanic descent and being born in America and still having roots somewhere else. So it's like ni de aquí ni de allá. It is, it's something that has always stuck with me and a lot of people, and that movie, it was in that movie, and it's still true to this day.
Yeah. Like you said, if he either really said that or somebody wrote that for the movie, I still, that's one of the better lines there of that movie, because of the truth of it. You know, going back to maybe more TV shows and not necessarily movies, I think El Noticiero Univision as well.
Yeah.
Just growing up with Jorge Ramos and María Elena Salinas giving the news every night. Can't forget about María Antonieta Collins as well, who are still there. They're all still there to this day, more than 20 years later.
María Celeste Herreras, who's now with Telemundo, but still I remember Univision.
I think we can't also forget about Cristina.
Remember? How could I forget about Cristina?
I know she's not on TV. She hasn't been on TV for a couple of years now, but Cristina, Cristina, growing up with her, she used to be called the Oprah of Latino TV. She was a staple, like, for all of the, all the 90s going into,
completely,
I think,
spaced about that
on 2000 and whatever it was that she finally ended her run. Cristina was another staple that we would watch before these other shows, before even Caso Cerrado and all these other stuff that now dominates, or before even Laura. Remember Laura.
Cristina was the original.
Yeah, Cristina was the original, was the more real one, if you will.
Yep.
And another TV show that I know we hinted at before is Sábado Gigante. Can't forget about Sábado Gigante.
Yeah.
It was cheesy, but it was good cheesy. And it was one of the few Latino shows airing in the U.S. that all the familia can enjoy it. Everything from Don Francisco to El Chacal to El Cuatro to everybody else, to the announcers, to the ladies, to everything, giving out a car at the end, all this stuff. Don Francisco was obviously still on the air on another channel.
And it was the longest running variety show in the U.S., I think. But just like, regardless of language. Yeah. It ran for like 50 years.
Yeah, yeah, because it ran first in Canal 13 in Chile, and then it went in the 80s, I believe, as it came over here to Univision when Univision barely started.
Yeah, that was a big show.
That show, just growing up with that. I mean, there's a lot more other things that I can get into, but I think those were kind of the staple ones that, for me, thinking about Latino, what it changed. Everything was always, at least for me, it felt like it was based on familia. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the core value of it has always been familia, which is part of our culture as well.
All right, well, that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this little stroll down memory lane. Don't forget to follow us on social media at KSL Cafecito on Twitter. I'm also at Evie Cruz on Twitter.
And I'm at Joel Cardenas.
Please, if there's anything that you want to tell us about the show or any topics that you think that we should talk about next, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
That's it for today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and coming soon to Google Music.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.